You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This episode of Blue Shirts Breakaway is brought to you by you, the fans. That's right. Go to patreon.com/blueshirtsbreakaway today to get access to our BSBOT episodes, our ad-free episodes, our Discord, which is mentioned sometimes in this episode, where Greg might be a little mean, and much more. On today's show, we talk about the Tampa Bay Lightning, a team that the Rangers might play in the playoffs, but it's also looking a little more unlikely now. We'll see, but a team that I think we all have a lot of questions about. Greg and I recap the Penguins game and also talk about a very eventful weekend of sports overall, including a bunch of milestones for the New York Rangers. Without further ado, here is our dear friend Mark Messier to introduce the show. Here we go.
Hi, everybody. It's Mark Messier, and you're listening to Blue Shirts Breakaway, the number one Rangers podcast.
Bushers Breakaway fans, welcome to another episode of Bushers Breakaway. I am your host, Ryan Mead. I'm here with my co-host, Greg Kaplan. Boy, oh boy. The vibes were high. We flew too close to the sun and the Mets. Greg, how are you?
I want to be clear about something off the rip here, Ryan.
Yep.
Your open implies that vibes are not good with the New York Rangers, and that couldn't be further from the truth.
The vibes are amazing with the New York Rangers. They just didn't come to play tonight, and I think there was they came to play. There was just like a couple things that went wrong. Wes McCauley being one, Jacob Truman making a mistake or two there being two,
yeah,
and that's simply about it.
The fact that the second period ended 2-0 with how well the Rangers played, the fact that they put a puck in the back of the net, it just seemed like one of those nights, which happen. It is what it is. It's fine.
Sidney Crosby also woke up and told himself, I do hate the Rangers. I really do. And I'm going to play one of my best games of the season versus them. And he did.
He did.
Not a surprise. Sidney Crosby, no. Notable Ranger hater over the years, and totally fine. Respect to him.
Really good hockey player, too. We should Turns probably out. Put that in there.
Shocker. It's funny because after Saturday, I know you do a lot of bonus content for our Patreon.
I sure do.
You do a ton of it. And I was just riding the high. I was like, should I go on and just record for 15 minutes about how awesome this is?
You could have.
Yeah, I should have. The Rangers, my mother was visiting. I thought it was weird to do. But I was like, man, I just want to record for 15, 20 minutes. Come on. I'm like, it was awesome. Jonathan Quick. You know, we talk about this a lot later in the five-star questions. If you think this open is different, don't worry. We did a second open at the beginning of the end of the show after our interview. It's 40 minutes long. It's got five-star questions, so stay tuned. But, Jonathan Quick became the United States' most winningest goaltender of all time. Awesome. 300 goals for Chris Kreider. An amazing achievement. Finally, the Lafreniere hottie just has been...
The Lafreniere what?
Hattie? Did I say hottie?
You said hottie.
Oh,
I mean,
man.
Both can be true.
Hottie. Hottie Hattie, there we go. Got it. English, everybody. So he finally did it. Alex, oh my God, Adam Fox. Something's wrong with me right now.
What's going on, bud?
I'm distraught, and you know why. Anyways. I'm totally distraught. I want to throw myself into a river. But it's not because the Rangers lost.
That's fine. Everyone should know that currently the Mets are losing 1-0 in the top of the 10th inning with the bases loaded and one out
Detroit's
for the Tigers. I want everyone to be clear that you're doing unwell. You're the one that's put together of the two of us.
That is very true. Adam Fox scored his final 300th assist, I believe, or point or whatever it was. Everything was fucking awesome. Dude, they couldn't post the Broadway hat video because they were in the Arizona locker room and they had to interview Laviolette outside with the sun, which Igor is afraid of. Everything was the best. And I wish I would have just came on here for 20 minutes and ranted about how this is such a special night. This is an amazing team. I can't believe how good this team is. Awesome. Because they went to tonight was just one of those games where they lose. It's not really that big a deal. No one got hurt. Move on to the next game.
The no one got hurt is the thing. The only thing I truly honest to God care about. Wenberg took a nasty hit
in
the corner. Brian Rust was mugging Mika Zibanejad at one point, and I I just don't know sometimes what is and is not a penalty in the National Hockey League. I do think it would be irresponsible of us if we didn't have a little bit of a Jacob Trouba conversation here.
Yeah, we have to, right? I think we've been... I don't want to say we've made excuses for Trouba.
I'm prepared to make more excuses for him if you want.
Oh, I'm not. I think he was rushed back. I think he tried to make himself play to get ready for the playoffs. And in the two games he's played so far, getting back up to speed is exactly that. Not back up to speed. He's made brain dead mistakes tonight versus the Penguins and led directly to two goals themselves and another scoring chance. And the game versus Arizona, he was also pantsed one or two times. This is just not something that we can have going into the playoffs, and I'm hoping he can find a way to fix that in the next 15 days.
It's very confusing to me. Oh, Lordy Christ on a fucking biscuit.
Did they score?
Oh, no, the New York Mets. They're now down 5-0 in the fucking top of the 10, so they're going to fucking lose. Yeah, that was Carson Kelly hitting a 3-run homer is what everybody just heard right there.
Okay, cool, cool.
Just 0-4 New York Mets, great. Oh, look, everybody's leaving as they fucking
should. Hey, it's only the fourth game of the season. Never need to freak out. People are going to love this later. It's like we Tarantino'd it. It's very good.
I know. We really Pulp Fiction the shit out of this podcast
today. We did. Oh, God.
God damn it. I had a good point, too, and then Carson Kelly unpants me and stuff a back up my ass.
Look, whatever. The Athletic's not here to yell at me for that one. Game if you want it. I mean, look, it's just pathetic that they went out there and didn't show tonight.
No, so here's my Trouba conundrum to a certain extent here, Ryan. On one hand, you and I both from the jump, he's back too soon. Whether he was ready to come back or not, we don't know the inner workings of his medical report. We know nothing. We can only assume he's healthy in the eyes of the New York Rangers, which is why he's back out there on the ice. My problem, your problem, the fan base's problem, and I have the same issue with Lindgren, is this time of year, with the playoffs so close, with how important Trouba and Lindgren are to what the New York Rangers want to do the rest of this month. If they're healthy, there's just nothing wrong with giving them the extra week. And especially when Zach Jones is playing as well as he is, Braden Schneider is playing as well as he is, and Keandre Miller is playing as well as he is. I know Gustafsson's out of the lineup too. Scanlon was fine in the one game he was given. It does boggle my mind that they weren't just given the extra, let's be sure here week this time of year. So we'll pocket that one. We both agree there. I don't think we have to go too deep into that. We don't like it. It's fine. Now that he's back, it's a bit of a double-edged sword where I'm confused on two fronts, frankly. Well, no, I'm confused on one front, and then kind of relieved, honestly, on another front. The first is he's clearly trying to play off some rust. And it's...
That's being nice.
It's
being nice, yes.
Yeah, he's playing off some rust, and I would rather him have this 3-4 game period now than at the end of the regular season when he has no runway left and it's playoff time. So on one hand, great. Get this shit out of your system now. Get your game back. Find your footing, get your comfort level back to where it needs to be, and get ready for the playoffs. But that begs the question again, Ryan. Just, does he have to play with Miller? You couldn't bring him back and pair him with Zach Jones and let him play third pairing minutes to get his feet back from under him? We've already established that these games aren't exactly important. We've already established that the Rangers, first and foremost, would rather just be healthy. So if we're trying to play Jacob Trouba back into shape, why are we just throwing him immediately to the Wolves? Like, at some point, we have been extremely gracious, nice, and positive about Peter Laviolette this year, and I still am, but he is a original 200 hockey man for a reason, and this is it. It's like, oh, my guy's healthy. He's my top-pairing defenseman. I need to put him back in a top-pairing role and just let him play into this. You could just give him sheltered minutes. in order for him to get, whether you think he should stay there, I'm not having that argument. I understand everyone will be yelling at their fucking podcast radios right now saying you can just leave him in a sheltered third pair of minutes and you'd be able to prosper. And that's neither here nor there. I just don't get why when he comes back in the lineup after missing nearly a fucking month, he has to go right back to playing number one defensive pair minutes when he's rusty and trying to play himself back into shape. I just don't, why? Why is this a rule? Why?
Very, very strange. And look, Keandre, I'm looking at the game score card right now from tonight's game. Look, I'm not really a bar chart guy. This is horrific. I don't think I've seen bars this low for game score. I think both of them are 4.5 minus or lower, which is a for everyone following at home, there's no game score. That's a very large number in the negatives. And I do think Keandre, just in general, somehow changes his game to try and make up for what Truba's lacking at that point in time and sort of presses in ways that are not. He kind of goes for an extra poke check, or he does something that's a little more risky, or makes a dumber pass. He probably sees how Jacob Truba is playing because he just hasn't played this way in a couple weeks. Keandre over the last couple months has been, I don't want to say a revelation. That's maybe not the right word, but he's been very good. He's been a shutdown defender. He's been creating offense with Schneider. They've been an amazing pair that I just didn't think that we would see. Like, I didn't think that pairing would work the way it has. And when he's been back with Truba these last two games, it's been kind of back to where it was in January. And that's the wrong time of year to figure that out. So I'm not here to make excuses for Keandre or Truba in this situation. That's fine. I think some of the mental mistakes Truba made tonight are inexcusable no matter what shape he's in. That's also true. But to get back in the flow of the game, which is hard, the NHL is a hard league, no surprise. I just wish he was being sheltered a little more, but I know they want to get the minutes like Keandre and Truba because that's what they want to run in the playoffs. But for right now, and the way the team's been playing, I just think you need to break them up. I know everyone's out there saying the same thing. I usually preach patience. I think they've been exposed a little bit earlier this year and especially now.
Again, if he's going to go through this struggle period, now's the time to do it. Where he
no better time.
There's enough time in the schedule where he can struggle for the next four games and then have four more games where he plays like the Jacob Truba the Rangers need him to be when playoff time comes around. So on one hand, that's nice and comforting and it's cool. On the other hand, I just don't understand the management of the player in this situation. I don't know why he didn't get the extra let's be sure of this week. I don't get why Lindgren didn't get the extra let's be sure of this week. And then when he is back, I don't get why he's just not playing lesser minutes. Like, you wouldn't even have to paint it as him playing lesser minutes. You could paint it as a reward for Zach Jones. Like, there's a way you could lie about it to the players, and the very basic hockey mind would be like, you know what? They actually got a point. They're giving Zach Jones a chance to play with the captain, blah, 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 blah. Everything would be great and hunky-dory. It's very confusing to me that he's just been thrown to the wolves. And at the same time, it always remains confusing to me that, like, not only are you throwing him to the wolves, but God bless all the great things we've gotten from Panarin, Trocheck, and Lafreniere this year. And we've got, they're not even going to fucking score in extra innings, and they're going to get fucking shut out.
Yeah, they are. Yeah,
this
they are.
Fucking team. I am sick of it. Fucking fourth game of the year. Completely derailed. Anyway.
I do know that BSB Out of Context is going to go and take that and put it next to my BSBOT. It's going to be super awesome.
Anyway, God bless all the great things we've gotten from Lafreniere, Trocheck, and Panarin, but they are not a defensively gifted line. The thing they do best is controlling the puck and creating offense, which is wonderful, but that long shift that leads to the second goal is essentially because it's Truba and Miller on an island playing defense and not getting a lot of help from their forwards. So, again, that's a management thing where why is that line out there against Sidney Crosby? Like, you have an opportunity to not put that line out there against Sidney Crosby, but they did, and they got caught, and they got caught with their pants down. And it leads to a goal that eventually ends up being part of the difference in this hockey game. And it's disappointing, but again, can't emphasize this enough. Things are good.
Things are great.
And this game did not matter.
Things are great. You do want to try and win the President's Trophy and avoid playing the Tampa Bay Lightning. I would enjoy doing that. Stay, mm-hmm. or not even the President's Trophy, stay first in the East. Would also appreciate that. But if you did want to know why you shouldn't want to play the Lightning, listen to our interview in a couple minutes, because wow. This is from Vince. He was talking to Trouba a couple minutes ago. He said, the first goal was not on anybody but me, and I've got to be better. Added that he's doing things that are, quote unquote, holding the team back since coming, holding the team back since my coming back, but believes they're easily fixable. Fair? At least he's honest.
Yeah, I mean, he wears the C for a reason, right? Yep. Oh, look at that. The game's fucking over. They didn't fucking score against the Detroit fucking Tigers. Great.
Tigers are not good. Hashtag.
Tigers are fucking undefeated, Ryan. They're fucking 4-0 now. But
Pirates are as well. Congratulations to the Pirates.
I know. The Pirates are really... Oh, I mean, they got the Marlins, and now they're playing the Nationals. Must be nice. The Mets are playing the fucking juggernauts that are the Brewers and the Tigers. So what the fuck am I here to say?
The Brewers and the Tigers. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I just... I hate everything so much.
That's fair.
I hate it.
Yep.
So much.
You're in the right place.
It's fucking April 1st, and I'm just like ready to punt my television. This is sick. This is bad. This is not good. This is horrible. This sucks. I can't even talk about the Rangers normally. You know what fucking makes me sick, though? You know what makes me absolutely fucking sick? This is what the people listen for. They fucking listen for me to be miserable. They get fucking off on it. They are just like, this is exactly what I wanted to hear from Greg. He hasn't threatened the life of Rhys Hoskins yet, and it's 15 minutes into the show, and that's surprising, but he's so angry about so many other things, and I'm getting off on it. Look, you are part of the problem. You are not helping me correct the many mistakes I've made in my life.
Anyway, the Rangers lost 5-2. Oh,
God.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm so mad all the time. How am I going to sleep? I don't know if I'm going to fucking sleep.
It's so funny that, like, I cannot tell you to, like, I can't, this, I, it's so perfect. It's the best content ever that this is the fourth Mets game of the season. Because
fuck you, man.
Because all year, I got shit for the Predators game. I really did.
Yeah.
And you were right. And I want to say this, make this clear. You were correct.
Yeah,
you told me, stop freaking out. The team's fucking good. They're good.
Here's the difference, though. We don't know if the Mets are good.
No, we don't.
It's quite likely they're bad. So it's a different conversation. If I felt like the Mets were just unlucky these last four games, that'd be one thing. They've played exactly one game so far this year where they scored more than one run. Okay, so there's a chance they just fucking blow. All right,
like, and that means Alvarez is the entire offense. Yes.
Yeah, well, he didn't have a great night tonight. I mean, he had a nice double with nobody on base. Because why would there have been anybody fucking?
Why
on base?
Would anybody do that? Yeah.
Fuck. Anyway, the Rangers. What am I upset about tonight with the Rangers? Really, nothing.
Nothing. Wes McCauley, the true Jacob Trouba situation is abysmal currently, and that's
all you
can
really
say.
I do think it'll get better. It's just it all feels avoidable with Trouba, which is why it's frustrating for me.
I'll say this. This is my word of warning, I guess. If Jacob Trouba is still playing this way and it's April 13th, we got to think about some things.
Well, we got a problem.
We got a real problem.
Forget about thinking about some things. You got a problem. No, like, full stop. But that's also, I'm going to say it's 12 days from now and be like, act cool. Meanwhile, if the Mets actually play a baseball game tomorrow and lose, I might not make it to April 13th. Good luck to you, sir.
Yes.
Anyway, no, I think why I'm finally frustrated with the Trouba situation is because this one specifically feels avoidable and like something that the Rangers didn't have to put themselves in this situation. You could have changed his minutes. You could have eased him back in the lineup. You could have given him more time off. It just doesn't feel like the Rangers went through this process correctly. It just doesn't to me.
The last thing I kind of topic I want to go into before we get to our great interview and also our second open, which is what we're calling it today after the interview.
I was so much more optimistic 8 hours ago.
Yeah, it was a great time. What do you think this open would have sounded like if we recorded on Saturday night? Just out of curiosity.
I would have been even more upset. Are you kidding me?
Oh, that's true. I think it would have started with murder. Never mind. Yeah, on your side.
Yeah, the funny thing about the second open is you play the whole bit about, you know, Saturday we could have done an extra podcast. I would have been like, and I would have been what? Happy?
Somehow yeah, forgot
a lot of things
time.
Happened in that Arizona game that I couldn't give seven shits about, Ryan.
Yeah.
Like, I do want to say this. I still don't know. Nobody knows what goalie interference is. I get that Nedeljkovic gets caught on Kreider's skate. At the same time, the only reason Kreider is in the crease is because Letang is putting him there. That feels like that should not be goalie interference, but we don't know what it is, so it's hard to criticize, and I'm not going to pretend like it isn't. I was... I don't know if I was really frustrated with any other player not named. And again, my Trouba frustration is more about the handling of Trouba and less about Trouba himself. I sound like the biggest Trouba apologist that exists.
You do. Which is fine. I do think there's partially you are correct in all your analysis there. There's no way to argue.
Trouba, like, it does not excuse the performance. Trouba's played poorly.
It doesn't. That's what I'm saying. Like, the mistakes he made are brain dead.
Correct.
That's where it is.
Correct.
And yes, you have to get back up to the flow of the game, but those mistakes are inexcusable.
But it's the flow of the game point that bothers me, where we're trying to ease him back into the lineup by throwing him 24 minutes a night and making him play his way back. Why can't he play 16:30 on the third pair with Zach Jones? Those are good minutes. Those are important minutes. That's helping him get ready for the playoff that's coming up. It's also not asking him to do too much that he's probably not prepared for right now. Now, if he's making those mistakes in a sheltered role, yeah, I would rightly criticize him. It's that he's making these mistakes and we have this opportunity because we know how good Schneider Miller was and we know how important those minutes those two were playing when Trouba was out. I just don't know why you can't serve two masters at once. Why must you put Trouba back in that top pairing role when he is trying to shake off rust? But again, the Rangers lost the game. Who cares? It doesn't matter. They're 3 points up on the Hurricanes. They're both played 74, 75 games, whatever the number is at this point. They have cushion. That's why it's even more frustrating that the Rangers don't understand that they have cushion and they couldn't just let him play himself back into shape in a more controlled environment. That's what frustrated me tonight, besides the fact that, you know, the Mets exist.
Yeah, incredibly frustrating. Well, let's get to our great interview in our second open, because I feel like we've hit it all. I wish we can get into like the goodness of the weekend, but honestly, you guys know what it is. It's all great. It's awesome. I don't have to sit here and tell you how great Chris Kreider is, how awesome the Jonathan Quick story is. Even though we said there was a very low chance at the beginning of the season he would hit the record this year, he did, because this team's been great.
And if Bill Simmons sends one more Quick tweet, he's going to have to come on the podcast.
What did he do? Oh, yeah.
He retweeted the video this weekend being like, all time, the GOAT, or whatever he said.
I did reach out to Larry David's people today and got the big no. So,
well, careful who you reach out to these days.
Oh, God.
Listen, if I got to live in this shit, I'm bringing you down with me.
I can't do it.
That's not even your fault, though. So it's just funny. So if you can't laugh about it, whatever.
Might not be able to leave this part in. Anyway, so... Just for personal reasons, we'll see.
Just bleep it out. Who cares? Everyone will assume I called Reese Hoskins a and they'll move on.
Oh, now I have to actually bleep that, you shithead. Okay. I will bleep those. It'll be fun.
Fun story.
Mm-hmm.
You always change the rules when things are behind the paywall on Patreon. But
yeah,
we did a This Is the End podcast where the word you don't like that you bleep out all the time, heavily used and featured in that movie. And I said it a bunch.
Well, the thing is, I don't listen or I'm not part of any of those podcasts. So I don't have editorial control. That's how that works.
Just say it's not a big. You have to remove your personal stigma with that word. It's a beautiful word.
I'm out. Sorry, buddy. I let a lot happen on this podcast. That's like the one thing I can't let go.
But it's so weird the things you do. I'm on federal watch lists because of what I said to Chase Utley.
Stuff where I go, probably should, but good content, so I'll leave it.
And yet that word upsets you.
It's just not good.
It's a great word.
Nah, dude. Can't do it.
Well, you know what?
I'm cool with dropping the F-bomb. Later, you do end up calling one of our listeners a bitch. One of the supporters.
Man, it's been a day.
I thought about how I'd handle that, and I decided we're leaving it in.
Yeah, it's great. It's great fucking content. I don't know what to tell you.
I left it in. And those two things I do have to believe. So
yeah,
figure
fine,
that out.
Whatever.
Whatever.
I'm being silenced.
I'm the, yeah, okay, shut the fuck up. You're one of the least solid people I know.
Oh, man.
Anyway, let's get to our interview. It's actually awesome. Deandra comes on. She's a beat writer for the Tampa Bay Lightning, and it's really, really fun interview. Come back, second open, five-star questions. We'll see you there. Transition. Hey, yo, I'm here to tell you about our official ticket sponsor all season long for all Rangers games and more, including WrestleMania, of which I will be at this weekend, in favor of TickPick. I bought the tickets on TickPick. I'm not even saying this because they're our sponsor. I literally bought them on TickPick. I bought a Saturday night ticket. Me and my friends were looking for tickets a couple months ago. We sorted by cheapest price and best deal. We bought the best deal, and now we're sitting near the ring for WrestleMania on Saturday night. It's going to be amazing, and I got the tickets on TickPick. Crazy enough, I used my own promo code during checkout. I used promo code BLUESHIRTS15 when I was checking out my WrestleMania tickets, and I got $15 off because it was over $99. If you want to do that, you can do the same. If you're going to a Ranger game, playoff game, anything, baseball's back, you're going to a game, use TickPick. Super easy to use. No fees. The price you see is the price you get. Use BLUESHIRTS15, any order over $99, get $15 off. Use the app. It's so easy, and I'm going to WrestleMania because of it. Maybe I'll see some of you there.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey, we're back with our first guest of the day. We have the beat writer for the Tampa Bay Lightning from the Hockey News. Her name is Deandra Liu. I think I did that correctly. Deandra, thanks for joining us.
Hey, guys. Thank you so much for having me.
Appreciate you coming on. The Ranger fans just in general are really scared of the Tampa Bay Lightning. I think I speak for everybody. It's the one team that has left us scarred over the years. I will trigger a bunch of people by talking about Game 7 in 2015. They also beat us in the Eastern Conference Finals a couple years ago. Generally, a very good team. There's a chance they end up playing each other in the playoffs, although that looks more unlikely now. But can you tell us a little bit about this Tampa Bay Lightning team in general? It seems like they know they're good. They've taken the season sort of seriously, but now it's game time for them.
Yeah, no, I think it's actually funny to hear you say it out loud that Rangers fans are scared of the Lightning. Yeah, no, it was, I think this last matchup that they had in Tampa was just a huge one for the Lightning of kind of turning around their season. It's been, this team is so different from the last teams that you've seen in the past. I always say in the past decade, because that's when John Cooper started coaching there and he really turned everything around. And I always kind of just, I watch him, especially this season, you know, they've lost a lot of those big, like locker room guys that they had, you know, in years past. And you think of like Corey Perry and Pat Maroon, Alex Killorn, and all those guys, you know? So this was a different team. And I would say of all years, this was, it was just like a fresh new start, but there were some serious growing pains. And I think the difference between like the NHL and other sports is that, you know, as long as you make it in the playoffs, like anything goes, right? Every team has a pretty fair shot for the most part. And for the Lightning, they're, you know, obviously getting the result that they wanted. It's just maybe not what we've seen in past years. So there's a lot of adversity that they've pushed through, which to me is always, you know, makes you a stronger team heading into the playoffs. I think of like when they got swept by Columbus, which is something we don't like to speak about in Tampa, but it really happened, you know, and they had such a great season that year. So this is one of those years where they kind of struggled. It's been a roller coaster ride. They pushed through a lot of adversity and they still have that same core, which I'm pretty sure is the one Rangers fans are terrified of. And I don't blame them because that core is still intact and, you know, they're pushing them through the finish line.
Yeah, that sweep at the hand of Columbus Blue Jackets came at the hands of some guy by the name of Artemi Panarin, who happened to play for the New York Rangers. Is going to put that out there very quickly. Lightning have been playing great since the trade deadline. And one of the big reasons why they've been playing great since the trade deadline is a guy they acquired at the trade deadline. Ryan and I spent many a month talking about Anthony Duclair and whether he was a fit for the Rangers and whether the Rangers would go out and acquire him. The Lightning did. I see you tweeting about him all the time. What has it been like for your standpoint to bring Duclair in at the deadline. What has he done for the Lightning?
Yeah, I was just saying that maybe I need to calm my hype down a little bit because I do tweet about him a lot. But I was so excited, you know, when they signed him because, you know, like you, like I remember when the Lightning had to play him when he played for Florida in the playoffs, and it was just absolutely brutal. And to have him on this side is really important, especially if the Lightning turn around and face Florida in the first round. So he's brought so many things to this roster, and it's exactly what they needed. And Stamkos was actually talking about it a few nights ago, but, you know, with the salary cap and the issues that they've had, you know, they've lost some gritty players. They've kind of lost that edge, you know, losing guys like Pat Maroon in the locker room, just they took a hit. You know what I mean? So Anthony Duclair is obviously, he's really fast. He can score goals. They needed depth big time. And he's really vocal in the locker room. And those are kind of the three pieces. And typically I feel like the Lightning, they kind of make moves under the radar. Maybe it's not the shiny player that everybody wants, and they end up being a perfect fit. He is meshed seamlessly. And, you know, he's skating on that top line with Kucherov and Braden Point, and he's scoring. You know, he's getting a point almost every game. And it's just like the confidence boost that the team got is just, you know, you can see it in their record, and it's on and off the ice.
One thing, we used to have another person that covered the Lightning come on this show, and he would talk a lot about Lightning culture. And it always pissed me off. I'm just going to be straight with you. Part of it was that everybody took discounts. Everybody bought in. Everybody was on the same page, and everybody wanted to be there. That's not the case with most teams. And I think the Rangers have done a pretty good job modeling that under Drury, where he finds players that take discounts and actually want to be part of this culture, this organization. Mm-hmm. You talking about Duclair kind of reminds me of that, of him buying, like maybe he hasn't been in a good culture in a while. Do you think that plays into his success so far?
Yeah, I get why it pisses you off, but it's so true. When we ask players, every time I ask a player what it is, and we've seen so many players over the years where maybe they just like didn't really fit in up until they come to Tampa, and they're like, this is where I want to stay. And there's so many layers that go into it. But going back to kind of Coop and how he builds this team out and the expectation that they have, and it's such a winning culture. That's literally all anyone cares about. But then you're also... it's a welcoming culture. The locker room is welcoming, and you know, you think of the city too, they're right on the water, and that definitely plays into it. All the players are next door neighbors. They all, you know, hang out outside of games and things like that. But the culture is, it's a really healthy place for the players. And I just like want to emphasize that, because not every locker room is like that. And I've seen teams come in and play the Lightning. I'm like, wow, what? It's like a night and day.
The Rangers played Arizona this weekend. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So there you go. You know what I mean? Like when you see the team that you cover up against another team, you're like, wow, this is crazy. I guess not all teams are like this, but yeah. Anthony Duclair said the same thing. And something that I thought was really cool is when we asked Anthony Duclair and Matt Dumba kind of who they were most excited to play with. Like Anthony Duclair and Stamkos are two peas in a pod already. And that goes a long way, you know, when you kind of mesh with the captain very well. And Matt Dumba was really excited to play with Victor Hedman, and it just kind of fit. And then the two of them are best friends. They didn't play in the same team, but they're best friends. So that kind of worked out as well.
You mentioned a lot of people that aren't there, right? The glue guys, the locker room guys, the Maroons, the Killorns, so on and so forth. The thing about the Lightning that, you know, Ryan has been mentioning is you still have a lot of the players who are there who are from a opposing, I say this respectfully and lovingly, from an opposing fan base are genuine pieces of shit. Braden Point, Steven Stamkos, Nikita Kucherov, Mikhail Sergachev, Victor Hedman, Andrei Vasilevskiy. These are all names we know. How has their play been since the trade deadline in helping this resurgent Lightning team pick up points in the standings?
Yeah, I mean, look at the numbers, right? They are thriving. They're actually, you know, they're scoring, which, you know, they weren't doing before the trade deadline. It's been such a weird season. And I think they picked the right guys to kind of fill those holes. And now the offense can kind of flow, right? Braden Point and Nikita Kucherov are just, they're on fire right now, both of them. And Kuch has been like that all season, but they needed it. Like they had holes, and all season we're thinking, you know, you watch them play up to some really good teams. Like, you know, they beat Boston, they beat Colorado, and you think, well, this is it. They're going to turn the season around. And then they would tank to, like, you know, anybody, a team that they were, Calgary, you know what I mean? So I think these two guys, they kind of filled the holes for them. And now the offense can kind of flow and they don't have to pick up the pieces and they can just kind of play their game. And Braden Point talks about simplifying the game. And I mean, we can tell he's like on a tear right now. He's insane.
Currently, as we're recording this podcast, the Tampa Bay Lightning are 4 points back of the Toronto Maple Leafs for the third place in the Eastern Conference. They are extremely unlikely, although probably impossible, to reach the second seed in the Atlantic Conference because Florida has 99. Mm-hmm. Is this even a topic of discussion for Tampa Bay? Is it just get in and we don't care who we play against? Or are they maybe thinking over these final games, let's stay hot the way we are, let's beat out the Leafs, and let's get into not a wild card spot? Or does it not even matter?
You know, it's so funny because, and I was just on the radio in Toronto, and they always ask about like how everything the Lightning does relates to Toronto, and it does not relate to Toronto at all. The Lightning are just focused on getting in because, you know, there was a time where they didn't know if they were going to make it in, right? So I think that they're just trying to keep playing.
I don't want to cut you off for a second, but I have to. They didn't know they were going to make it in. Have you seen this team? It's insane. They've been so good for so long. They were always going to make it.
They were on the bubble there, though. They were doing well, and then they were not. And like maybe it's just a Tampa thing because here we're used to them being up near the top, but like this season was tough. Like it was a very roller coaster ride of a season. So maybe on the outside, that's what it looked like. But here in Tampa, it looked like there was a chance that they were not going to get in. So for them, like they're literally just focused on getting in. Now, where they fall at the end, like where that is, whether they pass Toronto or not, I do think there's a really good chance they could pass Toronto. But,
me too.
You know, and they play each other. They actually play each other this week. And then they had the last game of the season, they play Toronto and Tampa. So it could truly go either way. But for them, it's just like whoever. And when I look at the teams in the East, there's not a team that I think, oh, the Lightning can't beat them. They can absolutely beat any team there. So it's really just about making it in. And then, you know, if it's the battle of Florida in the first round, that's going to be a pretty brutal first round battle, so we'll have to see.
I think we agree on that. Is there a team that you guys want to see? Like if you're as even someone that covers the team, like, yeah, who's your preferred first round matchup? Please don't say us.
I mean, it was the Rangers.
Oh god.
I'm not even gonna lie, I got asked this on air on TV the other day, and I was, yeah, like, yeah, I mean, I would be happy playing the Rangers. I also think that the Lightning match up really well against Boston, and they've pretty much won out all of their matchups against them this season. So Boston, they just match up pretty evenly. Although I think Toronto does not match up well against Boston. It looks like they're going to play them, and I'm cool with that too. So, but yeah, I don't know. I think the Battle of Florida would be pretty exciting. My thing is just as somebody who covers the team, and you guys know, like Florida, they have no problem like going after players, like they do not care. And I'm a little nervous as a first round opponent for that aspect of it, but the Lightning can absolutely beat the Panthers.
Yeah, it's playoff season, and it's on one hand, it's lazy to say, oh, all you need is a hot goalie. But on the other hand, yeah, well, you know, hot goalies usually help. It has not been a traditional Andre Vasilevsky season. Yeah. I know us here in Rangerland, there are a lot of fans worried about Igor Shesterkin. He's obviously turned it around. He's Igor of old. Everything seems great. Mm-hmm. Vasilevsky, if you look at just simply, if you wanted to do his save percentage numbers, they are not what you expect from him. What exactly has happened? What do you expect to happen come later this month?
Yeah, and I mean, you guys know with Igor, it's like, yeah, it's not a make or break. However, in the playoffs, like you need a solid goalie. And when the goalie's off just a tad, it makes such a difference. So, you know, with Vasi, obviously he had back surgery in September and he came back really quickly. And that's something that he's kind of been battling with, is just getting his body, his recovery. It's just been tough. Like he was talking about it a couple nights ago, that it's been really hard. Obviously to me, when he had back surgery and he was coming back right away, I'm thinking I would still be sitting on my couch recovering. Like there is absolutely no way you would see me anywhere near anyone, but, he's basically played the entire time that since he came back. And it just takes a while. You know, it's just taken him a while to get his body where he wants it. He still isn't exactly where he wants to be. But I mean, his game is, he's playing lights out right now. And I think he's just going to continue to get better and better. He looks like a old Vasi out there.
On the other medical side of things, a player I haven't paid attention to their recovery as much is Sergachev. Can you give us sort of an update on where he's at?
Yeah, I actually saw him 2 nights ago walking through the locker room. His boot is off and he's walking around. And I know that, you know, the Lightning, the organization and also the fans were so grateful for the way Rangers players and fans were when that happened, because that was such a traumatic injury for a lot of the players and stuff. But yeah, Sergei's up walking, rehabbing. The only way that he'll be able to come back is, from my understanding and the last update that I've heard, is if they make it, I think, to the Stanley Cup final. So, okay. But he's skating and he's doing, his rehab's going well.
Off the beaten path question here, just a little bit.
Yeah.
Are you happy or upset that the Vegas Golden Knights have taken away the, your cheating mantle away from Tampa Bay?
Oh my God.
Yeah, I'm asking it. I'm putting you on the spot.
Oh my gosh. I know. Well, it was actually nice to see another team get trolled as bad as the Lightning got trolled that year. And they still, I still get tweets about this like on a regular basis. Anytime, usually it's a Canadian team. Like anytime somebody gets mad about that or they think about it, they decide to send me a tweet and yell at me. But yeah, I know Vegas was getting ripped pretty hard. And, you know, they're just following the rules. Like, they're abiding by the rules and it's just working out for them. So that's all I'm going to say about
that. We've talked about this a lot over the years. And I think we would have clapped and applauded if the New York Rangers did anything like it.
Yeah.
They never have. But instead, we just call you guys cheaters, which is
that's
awesome.
Exactly. It's exactly right. Any team, and I think Toronto has taken advantage of it since then, too. I was like, any team that it works out that way for them, like, you know, they're happy with it. And then, of course, then they just go back to the Lightning doing it and everybody's pissed off. But, you know,
it's cool. Everybody's coming back for Vegas game one. It's
gonna it was just super convenient. All I'm saying, with Nikita Kucherov suddenly needing quote unquote hip surgery and you need to sign two players that were restricted free agents. Just convenient.
That's very strange.
Oh,
he was perfectly healthy. That's weird. He beat us. Oh,
I'll let you guys hold on to that one as long as you want.
It'll be the rest of my life to the day I die. Very fun. Let's go around the Eastern Conference just really quickly. It's been a disaster in the wildcard race. The Tampa Bay Lightning are all alone by themselves. The Flyers, Red Wings, Islanders, Devils, and Penguins do not want it. And especially the Buffalo Sabres, who absolutely tanked their season over the last couple days in a very, very terrible way. Has there been anyone, and it doesn't actually have to be one of these wildcard teams, that have come to Tampa and maybe surprise you a little bit? You already mentioned, you know, you're not scared of anyone, and the Tampa Bay Lightning shouldn't. They honestly, they shouldn't. They've won two cups. They've done everything they need to do to be a successful and powerful franchise over the last decade. They're awesome, etc. But has there been a team where you're like, okay, maybe this team's a little more of a problem than I thought?
Ooh, that's a really good question.
Good podcasting, Ryan. Well done.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
That's a really good question. The Lightning had some very uncharacteristic losses this season. And this is really, I can't believe I'm even thinking about this or saying this now, but like Pittsburgh came in and just absolutely whooped them. And they also lost to Calgary, which was kind of crazy, right after they traded Hanifin and everything. And that to me was surprising, but sometimes I feel like teams who literally have nothing to lose, they just grind it out. And those are kind of the teams that you can't really take for granted. But I can't really think of a team off the top of my head to answer that question fully.
All good.
I think that the loss to Calgary was pretty shocking for literally every single person in the building.
That makes sense. I guess to kind of follow up, it's sort of the Golden State Warrior of 2017, where it's the Tampa Bay Lightning, no matter what. You're kind of getting your opponent's best game. And I feel that it happens with the Rangers a lot. When people come to MSG, they want to play well, whether it's the building, the aura, whatever. I think there's a couple, you know, scheduled games that teams get up for. Vegas, Tampa, well, Vegas, sometimes they get down for different reasons. But Tampa Bay, I feel like, and the Rangers kind of share that this team's going to give us their all because they want to beat us situation.
I was actually just thinking the Lightning actually lost to Buffalo too, which it wasn't like Buffalo was on a tear. You know what I mean? Like they just came in and played really well and the Lightning did not. So I think sometimes maybe they don't expect these teams, some of these teams that struggle, you know, typically throughout the season, they don't expect them to make a good push, but that actually makes a lot of sense.
What a topic of conversation Ryan and I get asked a lot this time of year, frankly, all the time of year, is what would have to happen for you to consider this season a success or a failure for the team you cover? So, like, for Ryan and I, we're pretty lockstep where if the Rangers don't at least make the Eastern Conference Final, we're not going to be able to look back on 23-24 and say that year was a success. What is the Lightning version of that?
Oh, you guys are going to hate me for saying this.
But no, we know the answer. Continue.
Being honest, yeah. Like, if they don't, like, just the way that the culture is built, and it is for me as somebody who covers them, like, I'm in the locker room every day and it's adapted onto me too. But the only way that the Lightning view anything as successful is if they come home with a Stanley Cup. And that's just kind of how it is. Like, they're in that window where they can still do it. And I think if you ask the players, they would say that would be their view of success is winning the cup. Like going to the Eastern Conference Final would be great for them, especially given all the adversity and the injuries. They've had so many injuries this season. But to them, it's like, it's you win the cup or that's it. That's the only option. So I think that to me, I would say from a logical standpoint, you know, making the Eastern Conference Final, really making a run is successful. But for them, like it would just be winning the cup and that's it.
We here in New York talk a lot about Artemi Panarin. No surprise. He's having his career season. He's at 107 points right now. But that's sort of also what Nikita Kucherov does all the time. Is there a section of the fan base that every single year gets really upset about heart voting?
Well, I feel like he's not getting a fair shot as far as this goes. Like, I feel like everybody kind of decided that it was going to be MacKinnon from the jump, and then they weren't able to sway their minds to maybe there are other players that should be considered for this. To me, like the biggest stat that stands out to me about Kucherov and the heart is that he's factoring into 50% of their scoring, and that's pretty much remained the entire season. So like if he's factoring into 50% of their scoring, he has single-handedly carried them to this point. Like there were nights where he was the only one that was scoring. And I know from the outside, it looks like they had this great season, but they were struggling, you know, a lot throughout the season. So, the fan base, like the Lightning fan base, I see them all arguing and fighting on Twitter over the Hart Trophy. And I think like Cooch, every time I ask him, he's like, just only cares about winning and doesn't even really entertain the conversation, but he should absolutely be considered in this conversation. To me, like it's an easy, the Braden Point is 40 points behind him, which tells you everything that you need to know.
The Lightning, I think Ryan asked a version of this question earlier, and I'll reinforce it. So the Lightning are in this odd position where you're almost locked in to the number one wild card spot. You could conceivably still catch the Leafs in front of you, but it seems like a foregone conclusion with these last 8-9 games left for the Lightning that you're going to be the number one wild card. Does that change how you think Cooper is setting his lineup, time on ice considerations for different players? Are guys getting nights off otherwise? Like, how do the Lightning handle these final few games knowing that really anything that happens is out of their hands when it comes to playoff positioning and seeding?
Yeah, I mean, I think once they lock in a spot, then things will change as far as like their ice time. I just keep thinking about Victor Hedman and, you know, with Sergachev out and them having so many injuries, he's averaging like 25 minutes a night. So he's definitely a player that will need a little bit of a rest going into the playoffs. For them, they feel great because they're used to having a long postseason, and last year they did not. So they got a pretty full offseason and they all seem to be in a really good place. But yeah, I think Cooper definitely cut down some of that ice time for guys like Victor Hedman and some of the big time guys. But that said, the Lightning do not do well when they have a break. So, and that has been proven. That is a fact. Like they do better when they can just kind of skate through it. So I'm not sure if we'll full on scratch guys, but maybe like cut their ice time a little bit and kind of let them rest a little bit heading into the playoffs.
Final question for me on my side. I've been a huge John Cooper fan for a long time. I'd admired him as a coach. I would have done a lot of bad things to have him be the New York Ranger coach. And finally this year, somehow a coach I didn't want and Peter Laviolette has stolen my heart in ways I didn't expect by actually coaching and having practices. Uh-huh. What does John Cooper do for the Lightning that maybe we don't see? Right now we have Michael Pekka and Dan Muse running all these special drills all the time. They're ready for all these different situations. It has really changed the culture around the New York Rangers, which used to just be go out there and get them kids. What is John Cooper doing that we're not seeing?
Coop is such a planner in that every detail of every situation makes a difference for him. And I feel like, and I love Coop too. Like, he is the absolute best. And I don't ever talk about him as much as I want to, because I feel like it's always about the players. But he's basically created this culture, this entire winning culture that's in the organization. Like, it's all because of him and the way that he rests them, you know, when they need it. And then also is hard on them. He knows when to push, when to pull. And everything is thought through. And you have to remember, obviously, he was an attorney before this. So he's got like the poker face and the wording, and you're never going to hear him. You're never going to hear him like put a player down. And I know some coaches think that that motivates players, but I feel like that's kind of like not a thing anymore. So, you know, he's always got their back. Now, what happens behind closed doors is obviously different than what happens in the media and how he handles that. But I think he has the perfect balance of like push and pull and motivation. And like, just the success that he's had for the past decade shows that. But he's a great person too, and the guys respect him and they trust him, and I think that that makes all the difference.
I just want to make clear that my giggling was not because of anything you said. It's just thinking about how Gerard Gallant was here. And
sorry.
And life
we're
was
big
terrible.
Hater podcast,
yeah.
I was thinking of Torts, but that was
Torts see, has a lot of fans. A lot.
Yeah. I got to tell you, Torts is a very interesting bin of manager or coach for me, where I love the guy and I love him to death and I'll ride for him, but I never want him coaching my team. And there's no way to really explain that mindset to someone, but like, I would die for John Tortorella as long as he's not my hockey coach. That's really what it comes down to. Final one for me. Did I have a fever dream or did something happen with Cernak over the weekend?
He slept in through a team meeting. So
classic.
So he was scratched on Saturday, and I'm sure that's like really embarrassing for him because he's definitely never missed one before, but it just is what it is. So yeah, that happened. That was
okay.
Real.
Well, good for him.
That was real life.
He'll score 3 in the playoffs and I'll be upset. So yeah. Deidre, thank you so much for joining us. Do you want to plug what you do?
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm on the hockey news, obviously doing like nonstop coverage, which is about to kick back up for the playoffs. And then you can hear me. I do ESPN Southwest, which is the local ESPN station here. And then I'm on NHL radio all the time as well. So you can kind of find me on Twitter. That's
awesome.
Probably the main spot.
Yeah, unfortunately, we're also on Twitter. So yes. Thank you for joining us, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, thanks, guys.
Hey, we're back. Great interview.
It was fun.
Really fun.
Good sport.
She put up with our bullshit, which is good.
Yeah, I appreciate anyone who puts up with our bullshit, just like, not to plug ourselves, but to plug ourselves. We were on Pix 11 again last night.
Yep.
And the audacity of the anchor to be like, hey, before we get into the Rangers, Greg, anything you want to say about the Mets opening season? And I was like, I have a few things, but I can't say them on public television.
Yeah, you did a good job handling that. I was actually afraid for my life. We're all going to get fired.
Yep.
Yes.
Bold and brave. Good.
Very cool.
But they're good. They're good people as well. I appreciate them every time.
If I told you 8 years ago we'd be a regular spot on the New York City news, I would just like, you're fucking crazy.
I did think about I had this moment of thought, because this is the sicko that I am, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I had the moment of thought where I was like, if I do say something inflammatory about Rhys Hoskins right now, mm-hmm. it would get picked up as national news.
It would, actually, yes. Yeah, it would. Like, a mini viral, 100%.
Uh-huh. And
if
I
you
was
were
like,
to risk it all, you could have done it.
I thought about it, and I was like, I unfortunately was an adult in that moment. Right. Yes. I wasn't a big fan of it.
All right. So, look, it's been a crazy week for the Rangers. We recorded this before the Monday night game. Obviously, Saturday was bonkers in terms of everything that happened. I'm sure we were really nice about it.
The Monday night game you're talking about, of course, is Mets Tigers. Yes, this is the part of the year that we're in, and I hope
first
people
one of the season,
that.
Baby. That's right.
God, I hope so, Ryan. If I cannot imagine how depressing the opening's going to be if the Mets are 0-4.
I have to tell you again, this is funny because people are getting kind of a second open podcast right
sure.
now. But I've been thinking about this all weekend because I think Saturday's game was a top 10 like Rangers regular season game, and I've been mirroring that with Mets opening four games. It's been like, how do I handle this where I do want Gregory to vent, but also express that things are really good?
Well, you responded to the tweet, and it might be one of my greatest tweets of all time because it's 100% true. I remember vividly, Ryan, the fourth game of the year, you're having a full blown fucking meltdown about the Rangers no showing against the Predators. And I'm telling you, I'm like, this is the dumbest thing you've ever done. This is stupid. It's literally game four. Calm down. Everything will be fine. And I'm in the third inning of the second game against the Milwaukee Brewers. And I'm sitting there like, I cannot imagine things getting worse. I just can't do it.
I had a whole rant lined up if the Mets lost tonight. Like, Gregory, it's the fourth game. It's the fourth game. It's the fourth game.
No, but I admitted it. I beat you to it. I beat you to it. I fucking hate it.
Because I was thinking, I was watching Saturday night. It's like, quick, so winningest goalie in U.S. history. We said he couldn't do it. Panarin at 4 points. Adam Fox, 300 assists. Chris Kreider, 300 goals.
Yep.
Alexi Lafreniere, finally the Laffy Hattie. And then I was just like, man, Reese
Hoskins.
The
Mets lost 7-6. That's going to be the first thing I talk about on this podcast.
Open my show on Monday night.
It's probably good that we're recording this part before the open, so I'm kind of getting it out of my system. But again, it just starts anew if they lose to the Tigers.
Oh, and it should. And it fucking should. Who's pitching tonight?
For the Mets?
Yeah.
Manaea.
Okay. All right. Interesting.
Yeah, an actual pitcher, which is something they didn't have on the mound yesterday, in Tyler McGill, who apparently got hurt.
Yeah, it's off to a firecracker start for
the Mets. Baseball, catch the fever. Reese Hoskins, I'm in your fucking house.
The Reese Hoskins thing is so good for sports, though. So good.
I know, but I really thought it was weird.
All right, we're getting into it. Fuck it. I really thought it was weird that he charged the mound.
He didn't charge the mound. He looked there like a fucking
charge the mound. He ran towards Hoskins, like, to play the ball when there was no one.
Yeah, because he wasn't throwing at him. I'm sorry. Like, Reese Hoskins, like, I don't think major league pitchers can miss by 8 feet. I'm sorry, it's Johan Ramirez. He's not good at baseball. Like, it'd be one thing if it was Edwin Diaz. I'd be like, yeah, probably intentional. The Mets had, like, their fucking didn't know this guy was going to make the team guy on the mound because he has control issues. And suddenly everyone's like, I don't know.
It looks bad.
Here's my thing. I want to make this clear. Uh-huh. And this is as crystal clear as possible. I think throwing at baseball players is lame and stupid.
Agreed.
And I think throwing at someone's head is irreprehensible to its core. It's disgusting. And I say that knowing full well that I would have just shot him. I would have just whipped. I just pulled shotgun right there, two warning shots right to the head, like they do in Chicago.
Yep, amazing. Look, it was great for me as a neutral viewer. I was eating it up, so I thought it was amazing. But
you're not a neutral viewer though, because you whether you like it or not, are financially invested in the future of the New York Mets.
I am. I'm financially invested in whatever they do, but so it doesn't matter. It's winning or losing. I pay attention to them. I watch a ridiculous amount of baseball this weekend.
Oh, dude, it was so fun. I watched almost all of the outs and Rays Blue Jays because I had action in nearly every game.
I watched almost every second of Houston Yankees, and I hate the Astros.
And I hate the Yankees, it was compelling baseball.
Oh, Soto's so good. Oh, my God.
I know. That, the thing getting me through this Mets stretch is, like, the Astros are 0-4, and they lost at home four games to the Yankees.
Don't worry. I watched both Braves games versus the Phillies where they pummeled them.
I don't consider the Mets competing with the Braves.
Oh, I understand. It's just like watching the Braves for a second was like, oh wow, their lineup is disgusting.
Yeah, that Freed Nola game where it was like 5-3 after two. I was like, what is happening here?
Oh, it was 2-2, and it was like, oh, it's 13-2. Okay.
I'm also having a really, really good time betting against the Rockies. It might be my favorite thing to do this year.
Oh, the Rockies.
I know they won
are
on Sunday, but I wasn't going to bet on Tommy Henry, so that's fine. But betting against the Rockies on opening day, I was lying in bed. I saw that the Diamondbacks put six up in the third inning. And I was like, I don't have to watch this anymore. This bet won. I'm taking my glasses off. I'm going to sleep. So when waking up and seeing that the Diamondbacks scored eight more runs that inning, ah, chef's kiss. Big fan of it.
Yeah, the two teams in baseball that are really, really bottom feeders this year is Rockies and A's. Terrible.
Oh, sorry, you're forgetting the White Sox, too.
Oh, man. The White Sox have talent, though. Isn't that sad?
Yeah, but Eloy's already hurt.
I know, but they have good guys.
They have Robert. That's it.
Yep.
Okay. Name a third after Eloy, and you can't because Eloy's injured.
Benintendi's been pretty bad last year, so.
I'd say Benintendi is kind of in the Conforto zone, where it's like, he used to be good. He probably should be good, but he isn't good.
Yeah, that's probably
Though Conforto playing quite well to start the year.
The Chris Bryant in Colorado thing is sad. Sad. He got his bag.
Well, he got his bag, so, you know, he's fine. Generational wealth. That's a good thing.
Congratulations to him. All right, let's do some five stars.
Right. All right. It's a hockey podcast.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. So, look, if you want to leave a five-star question, go to our Patreon. Leave it on our Discord five-star question channel. We read them on the show. That's how it works. First question from Matty Jack. Ever heard of him? This is from him saying, Braden Schneider is a 22-year-old drafted 19 overall and has sheltered minutes because of how good his pairings have been before him. With Trouba being out, it made me question something. A question that I will now pose to you both. Have we overlooked Braden Schneider's ceiling?
No, because I guess the question here is, what is Braden Schneider's ceiling? It's kind of a not quite good, not quite as good defensively as Ryan Lindgren at his peak, but more offensively inclined than Ryan Lindgren at his peak.
I'm going to push back a little. I think what has happened over the last couple weeks, and everybody can do this in the NHL for the most part. I want to make sure that's clear. There are times where players play out of their minds for 4 weeks and they never play that way ever again. But because Braden Schneider is 22 and we're able to see what he was able to do with Keandre Miller, I thought he had more offensive upside in terms of driving play with his game than I was used to. And I thought his defensive prowess was also better than I expected. So I do think he can be the Ryan Lindgren level of shutdown. He also is a bigger body, like a more of a playoff guy in terms of being able to hit somebody, being able to withstand the grind. Not that Ryan Lindgren is not, please do not take me up on that. But I do think his ceiling is higher than I originally thought. But the ceiling is not a top two pair defenseman. It is a extremely good top four.
Yeah, but I don't know. I guess my confusion is I thought that's where we were already.
That's probably right.
Yeah, and it's different when we're talking about his role in the Rangers simply because his ceiling is something. It's not that he won't reach it. It's that it's not a requirement for him to reach it. So we kind of downplay it from that perspective, knowing that as long as he's here, he's going to be the third most important right-hand defenseman the New York Rangers have. But I guess I was just under the impression where you are now is where we already were. And maybe that's the disconnect here.
Shout out to some people that told us that he was this originally when we were mad. This is from 4-star David. He said, thoughts on Matty Jack's new profile picture. And I want to just describe the profile picture. It is Chase Utley riding Hong Kong Harry. Your thoughts?
I'm like this close to getting his social security number.
I'm aware.
So I think it's bold. It's a strategy that Manny can pull.
Art is about emotions and expressing, right?
Sure.
Guys? Right?
Uh-huh.
This is from Live Laugh Lavi. What model of potato did Fitz use to record his interview? Okay, so hands up, first of all, my bad. Probably should have enhanced this audio a little bit, but he was cutting out a little on our side. I thought our software fixed it. We're going to fix that for next time Fitz is on. We'll figure that out.
Yeah, it'll be fine. I'm not overly worried about it. I want to shout out one person in our Patreon. We encourage the notes on the audio. I'm not angry about that. But there's one person who goes by Jaybird. He's, to my knowledge, not active in the Discord, but he likes to leave comments that are spicy on the physical Patreon link itself.
I don't read those as much as you do, so
Well, they really don't happen that much, but I think it's bold because he says things he knows are either incorrect or hot takey or just plain bullshit, and he knows he can say them without getting any pushback. So him being like, his last one was, it's nauseating the amount of praise DeAndre Miller gets. And I just want to say, Jay Bird, I think you're a bitch. Say it in the Discord. Like, say it somewhere where people will see it. All right? Get off your fucking ass. You want to make that point? First of all, fucking factually incorrect. You're just bad at watching hockey, if that's the take you have on Calendar Miller. But second, you're a bitch. Like, if we do another episode of Bitch or No Bitch, you're number one on my list, Jay Bird. Okay? Oh, just want to make that clear. Thank you for your money, by the way. I'm always surprised about sometimes.
Yeah. I'm like, Greg is going to lose us a Patreon subscriber. And I'm like, you know what? That's okay. That's part of the show. No big deal. Uh-huh. Sometimes people respond with, F you, buddy. I'm upping my subscription.
Damn right. As they should.
And it is, you know what? I've been more surprised over the years.
Listen, it's a bad opinion, okay? Whether it's a bad opinion or not, just, like, man up and share the opinion in a place where you can get pushback. Not some anonymous Patreon comment that nobody checks.
You gotta chop it up with the lads. You gotta actually fight your fight, my friend.
We have done amazing work, and I pat ourselves on the back, and I pat all our subscribers on the back for this. Our Discord is a really fun place. I have very few complaints about the community that we have built in that Discord.
It has been pretty incredible.
And for you not to want to share that opinion in Discord because you're worried that someone might be mean to you, fine, God. I'll be mean to you here, bitch. Like, I don't know what you want.
We're gonna get attacked.
I love it. All right? Reese Hoskins took me behind the shed and did things to me that I did not appreciate.
People care about Greg.
Yeah. Fucking A.
But you know what? I used to get mad about this stuff. Now I laugh.
Oh, shit. We got a Patreon notification. Hold on. Please.
Okay.
Please. Damn it.
Okay.
I thought this would have been great if in the moment that we got another one. He's like, I already hear you guys saying that.
I have the live stream and I put the bug in Ryan's room. This is from Jedi Mama 1975. What's the protocol for wearing the Why Not Us shirt during the playoffs? Every game or not until they make the first round? Every day of your life and buy another one.
Yeah, I think if you don't have one, I think I fucked my left elbow up in the shower yesterday.
And
now if I just extend my arm in a certain way, it's a searing pain that goes down my entire body. This is what happens when you turn 35, which is what happens to me in a couple weeks. If you don't have a Why Not Us t-shirt for every member of your family and extended family, the real question is, why do you hate the New York Rangers? Why don't you want them to win?
To answer your question, seriously, and your extended family members.
We should also make note, we will be hosting a watch party, we hope, opening weekend of the playoffs, because it seems like game one will either be on a Saturday or a Sunday.
I think they put the Rangers on the Saturday. Yeah, I'd be surprised if they didn't.
I hope they do, frankly, because we don't play. It's like Tuesday's our last game, and then we don't play again.
Yep.
It'll be at T-Squared. Ryan and I will both be in attendance together, which, historically ungood. But T-Squared's 2-0, Ryan. We're testing fate here.
So, from David again, how is it that the Rangers could very well win the President's Trophy and be underdogs heading into the playoffs?
I don't think they're underdogs. I think everyone's talking pretty openly just about how wide open the East is, and the East is wide open. Like, I think the Rangers are as likely as anybody else to emerge from the East. I think the only team that won't emerge from the East is the Philadelphia Flyers. That's it.
Agreed.
I think right now, even with the way the Capitals are playing, I don't think... Would it surprise you if the Capitals beat whoever the 2-seed was in the Metro in the first round?
No.
Unless it was the Rangers. Then it would surprise me.
Correct. This is from Cole, and I'm not sure exactly what he means, but I'm going to ask.
Okay.
So what shrine do we need to build before the playoffs to appease the gods and make sure the Flyers game never happens again? Which Flyers game?
Was that the one where the Rangers won in overtime?
Oh, like, sure. They won, though. Like, what's the problem?
I don't know.
I don't know the question.
Ryan, the Rangers have done a lot of winning. We're trying to pick nits here in order.
Five-game win streak. There's awesome.
Yeah, but we got to complain about something. Come on.
All right. This is from Madame Fox. If you had to guess the outcome of the playoffs right now.
Oh, God.
How many rounds do you think it would go? Oh, God, don't do this. Who do you think we're playing each round? And do you envision a real path to the cup? I'll just be straight up with you, Madame Fox. I have been convincing myself about this team in ways that are unhealthy the last couple weeks.
You sure have.
In a Greg Metzian belief.
Whoa. Hold on.
What? What do you want to hold on?
I feel like I'm really really honest about the Mets.
But you passionately care and you care too much. I'm getting to that level.
That is fair, yeah. All
right. I'm not to that level.
You won't get me to fight you on the care too much. Honest to God tweet, by the way, that I might send to my therapist. I'm sure there's something in there where he's like, no, there's a relationship with your mom here that we need to get to the bottom.
It's the Mets.
And I'm like, it's the Mets, man. You need to tell me why this happens to me with a baseball team. Yep. I'm fine with my mom. She's great. She pisses me off. I know this already. I don't need you to tell me like, oh, let's uncover the truth about that. Uncover the truth about why this team fucking impacts my mood on March 31st in the third game of the year. Like, I just, it's not healthy. I know it. So please, like, diagnose that shit.
Madame Fox, did you hear what Greg just sounded like? That is how I feel about the New York Rangers currently. And I really believe this team can win a cup. I will be distraught if they do not. I know this doesn't answer your question, but that's sort of the point I'm getting to. That question is from deleted user. Okay. I don't know if that's their name or they actually deleted their account after they asked it. I don't know. I think
my meeting got canceled today. This is great.
I think they actually deleted it. I think it was a person that would interact with us very often. Maybe they left.
Hold on. I'm investigating. I want to see this.
Now I'm wondering, what would Greg not give up for a Mets World Series? I think you'd give a leg. I thought about this.
Where is this? What?
5-star questions.
Deleted user. New profile pic. What's the protocol? How is it? Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know.
AZK. Oh, I like AZK. Where'd he go?
Me too. Maybe he changed his name.
Maybe. I don't think he did. I think he's gone.
He's gone. Rest in peace.
That's interesting. First of all, AZK, I miss you, buddy. You didn't leave because I said something to you. I know that. I actually liked you. What would I not give up for the Mets? I don't know, man. Like, you know, people always ask us, oh, how many? The Rangers win 10 in a row or Mets win one.
I know.
Like, I would give up the NHL.
No, I would. Everyone knows, Greg.
Ryan, I would stop placing bets on ponies in order to guarantee the Mets win a World Series.
Now we're talking. This is good. this is good.
I have no question, not even thinking about it twice. I would stop betting on horses if I knew that meant the Mets would win a World Series.
This is from Panarino and Andrew. What trade was worse for the franchise? Kazmir for Zebrano or Nedvev Zubov for Robitaille and Samuelson?
I answered this immediately in the discussion, and it is Kazmir, no question. Because again,
the Rangers won.
The Rangers had already won. It did fuck up whether the Rangers would continue winning. But the Rangers had won.
They won.
If you put Scott Kazmir on the 2006 New York Mets, they win a World Series. I have no question. This is not up for debate. This isn't a hot take. The Mets were a starting pitcher, at least short. Kazmir had the best season of his career in 2006, and Victor Zambrano was no longer on the Mets.
Zubov is incredible, and maybe the Rangers get one more, but they won. They won.
They had one in the bag. They were playing with house money, and they bet it all on Red after, you know, collecting the winnings that they had, and they lost their additional winnings on top of that, but they had winnings, which is the difference.
This is from Remy. What's the easiest path to the cup for this team? What's the hardest? Flyers round one.
Yeah. Capitals round two, because they upset the Hurricanes, and
Leafs
round three.
Yep.
Because you and I are convinced if the Leafs make an Eastern Conference final, something hilarious happens in that Eastern Conference final to prevent them from going to the cup.
I'm not too worried. And then from the West, it's probably the Jets.
Did St. Louis magically make the? Who's even in the playoffs in the West?
St. Louis is still struggling to get in. They're not going to make it.
Ryan, if they did make it, it would be them.
That's true. They're 5 points back right now.
Let's go to the West, shall we?
Yeah, not happening though. Because I can't say the Golden Knights. Golden Knights, no, for sure. They're Stanley Cup champions. Los Angeles
Edmonton
Kings
would be the funniest.
Yes,
but I don't want to see McDavid in a final.
It's the Jets for me.
I'd probably say the Predators, because I can say that and not worry about blowback in any way, shape, or form. Since
that's fair.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
Like, who really gives a shit about the Predators is kind of what I'm getting at here.
It's from ex-Brett Bedard. Is Lingering Human confirmed? No. Next question. Is Keith chanting over? Hi, guys. I'm in my second year of a fantasy baseball league. Oh, God.
Here we go.
And I really don't know what I'm doing. I'm a huge Mets fan, though.
Oh, God. Although, mistake number one.
Although, who could compare to Greg? But my knowledge of the rest of the MLB has waned as I've gotten more into hockey. Do you also have good recs for podcasts/websites where you get your info, fantasy, that I hear on OT? Look, It's really hard for me to find a good fantasy baseball podcast. I tell this story all the time, but when Matthew Berry canceled his baseball podcast with Nate Ravitz at my job, I cried and made up an excuse that one of my family members died.
You know, well, this we've told this story before, and I don't know how serious people think we are. I don't think this podcast exists without Fantasy Focus.
Doesn't, because period.
Fantasy Focus and Bill Simmons were the podcasts that got me into listening to podcasts.
Yep. But there is no, I don't listen to any current fantasy baseball podcast. I don't. I've tried.
I wanted no one to recommend, frankly.
Yeah. I will tell you that good resources to look into if you're looking at, I will plug Pitcher's List. They do have a lot of good rankings.
Vinny, who's on a bunch of our bonus podcasts, including today's podcast on The Shining, is a writer for Pitcher's
Nick
List.
Nick is a good guy. So if you're looking for pitching and like streaming options, Pitcher's List is probably the way to go. If you're interested, maybe check out their shows. I'm not going to answer Cole's next question because we already answered one for him. Rootin' tootin'.
Oh.
How did Lindgren come back already? That's it. That's the question. The question where we answer is Lindgren human.
I wonder if we talk about this in the open. There's no way to know because we're talking about it now. I am frustrated that they're just playing Trouba and Lindgren and they're like, well, of course we're playing them. Why wouldn't we play them? It would be disrespectful to not play them.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, you know, there's like bigger fish to fry.
We can
this game against the fucking Coyotes.
This might be one of my favorite questions ever. It's from Dog's Name Was Jack. Petition to change the top patron subscriber to tier Zach Hyman's dad.
Oh man,
that's the top. That's top tier.
Oh, that's good. Yeah,
I'll throw it in the ending once in a while. Put it that way.
Yeah, I mean, listen, and again, this isn't a knock. Like again, I said it on the pod. Like I had rich parents too, so I can relate. But yeah, it's just I'm not going to. Well, you were lacking one. John was out pitching baseball for the Mets still at that point.
Yeah, sorry, John.
I mean, John Franco made good money in his career. I think you'd be fine.
Well, he wasn't around.
that much.
Not that
true.
He's my father, actually, but.
Well, I mean, you can't rule it out.
I really can't. Well, one day, I never told the full story of my adopted family, right?
I don't think so. You did some 23andMe shit that I still think is psychotic. And you're like, no, man, this is normal.
I got it as a gift.
Yeah, well, you know.
All right. Long story short, everybody, both my parents are. I'm not telling the whole story. I'm just going to do the too long didn't read. Both my parents are adopted. A girlfriend at the time in 2016 got me a 23andMe thing. I was with my adopted friend getting drunk in 2017. It said, you have a new relative, grandpa. Mm-hmm. I Googled him. He died 3 days earlier and he's a multimillionaire. So there you go.
We owe so much money.
Maybe I'll
do
that as a bonus episode, huh? That'll be fun.
Hey, well, listen, people might be tired of hearing from Gina and Vin and Rebecca.
You do so much content. It's crazy.
Man, Gina is debating, by the way, if she's going to, I think she's coming down for the playoff watch party.
Wow. Okay.
She wants to meet the people.
Insane.
I agree.
This is from Dylan. You have any other hockey playoff series are you excited to see other than the Rangers? Also cup predictions. I will say, I don't typically watch other hockey throughout the year. I mostly only watch the Rangers. Mm. I know that's for some people blasphemous. I understand.
I mean, I'm right there with you. I will not watch a second of another playoff series that doesn't involve the Rangers.
I end up watching some playoffs. I will usually, Dylan, if I'm on Twitter and they're like, everyone's screaming about a game, I turn it on. That's usually how it works.
For me, there usually has to be a financial incentive for me to turn the TV on or at least give them second screen action next to the Mets. Like I remember Jeff came up to visit, but I think this was also just the Rangers weren't in the playoffs, but it was the batshit crazy 2021 Flames Oilers game where there were like 7 goals in a 2.5 minute stretch. But I feel like the only reason I was watching that is one, the Rangers weren't in it, and two, it was still the end times, and I was just happy sports were on TV.
Yeah, I mean, same way. I'll end up checking into some of them. This is from Blind Zebra looking for work. Dirtier player, Jacob Trouba or Gabe Perreault? Just kidding. I don't know what Perreault did recently. So something happened?
It was a bad hit.
I missed the kind of hit
that should be. We're trying to eliminate this shit from hockey.
I don't know how this didn't get put on my timeline. I missed it. I'm sorry, guys.
Yeah, there was a play near the blue line, and you can see the defenseman is struggling to handle the puck, and Perreault stops playing the puck and launches his entire body into the guy's head. gets thrown out of the game rightfully. It bad fucking hit. And there's no defending it. That shit needs to get removed from hockey.
Right. I think we say this all the time. This is from Ryan. Rank these feats in terms of impressiveness. I love this question too. Quick, most wins by an American goalie. Kreider, 300 goals. Lafreniere, Hattie. Goodrow scored a goal.
The Goodrow disrespect. Guys, we gotta cool our jets.
I love it. Keep going.
This might be blasphemous, and I'm preparing for the blowback. I think it was more impressive that Kreider scored 300. And no disrespect to Jonathan Quick, who I will never say a nice thing about. I think Jonathan Quick being the all-time winningest American-born goalie in history says more about how we just don't have a lot of good American-born goalies than it does about Jonathan Quick being good.
I think he would also tell you personally himself that wins are not a goalie stat and it doesn't matter.
Oh, I don't think he'd say that at all. Are you kidding? He'd be like, I couldn't have gotten here without my teammates, but I think goalies believe that they are a
They are sometimes. So
yeah, like you think Tom Glavine, the shit ass that he is going to be like, well, I couldn't have won those 307 games without my teammates.
Fair. I do have Kreider first as well.
I think it's really hard to score 300 goals. It's really hard to be healthy and have an NHL career that lasts that long, frankly.
I'm not going to read the full question here, but Ranger Gruner said our EHCL affiliate, the Cincinnati Cyclones, made history by starting an all POC skaters this week. I would like to hear your reaction on that. And my reaction is that's fucking awesome.
That's great. Yeah. Yep. I don't pay a ton of attention to the ECHL. I know Savannah's got a team and everyone, all my friends still in Savannah are super excited about it, but it's great. It's important first and foremost, simply not be, you know, I don't see it as like, we just did it 'cause we did it. Those are five good players in the ECHL.
Yeah, they earned it. Like, don't take anything away from them. They fucking earned it.
They would not have started those guys unless those guys deserved to be on the ice at the start of the game. And I think that, more than simply playing five guys at the same time, is more important that, like, there is talent in all communities. And the NHL and the, you know, all sports need to be better about trying to find talent in all communities. And we'll get there. I don't know, but hopefully we're continue to move in the right direction.
This is from 4-star David again. Is Francisco Alvarez a good sleeper bet for Silver Slugger? He's the truth.
I don't know who's sleeping on him. Who's fucking sleeping on him?
He's not going to an average hitter, though. He's going to hit a lot of home runs. He's going to bat around 270. He's quite good.
What's wrong with 270?
He's just not a Silver Slugger. He's not Silver Slugger.
You think there's a catcher in the National... You're essentially betting either him or JT Realmuto. I don't think there's... this is hard. Will Smith is one of the best all-around catchers in baseball. And Will Smith can hit 300 with 30 homers and be buried in a Dodger lineup, and you never hear about
Francisco
it.
Francisco Alvarez forever. I just don't know.
Tried to acquire him from you mucho often.
I know.
Winning a Silver Slugger is hard. He's going to have to, in order for him to beat Will Smith, he essentially has to hit 40 homers.
Correct. And he will hit a lot.
He'll hit a lot.
I'm not sure it's this year. In the future.
Missile he hit on Saturday, by
sure.
the way.
Sure. It's from TSC 1231. What's your favorite musical of all time? Both performances and in general?
Chicago, I think. It's the one I've seen the most. I'm seeing it again at Proctor's with adults in April. Nice. A Chorus Line's up there for me, though. But it's at the point now where it's been so long since I've seen A Chorus Line where I don't know if I just have fond memories of it because I saw it when I was young and it was one of those, like, ooh, fancy moments you have as a kid. But I'm eager to see A Chorus Line again so I can properly rated.
I don't really have a good answer to this. I've done a lot of plays. I like Les Mis a lot. That's sad, but I like it.
Don't say that around Gina.
Oh, why?
She fucking hates Les Mis.
I built the set for it. It was pretty cool building the barricade.
You should hear Gina tells a funny story about how she, I think it was in college or was at least a trip with a couple of our friends from Marist, or at least my friends. You didn't hang out with us in college.
I did.
But she went on this fancy trip to visit some girls out in England, and they went to a proper English playhouse to see Les Mis, and they were so confused at intermission that they went up to the bartender, asked him what the hell was going on in the play, and the bartender responded with, "This isn't the first time I've gotten this question," and handed them a essentially cheat sheet to explain what the hell is going on in Les Mis.
Wow. Okay. Amazing.
Not one of Jean's finest moments, considering she's the musical voice of reason on this year's network.
Final two questions, one from Jets Rangers. And I love this one because I've only seen the first six words. Is it okay to be still furious at Gerard Gallant that not only they had essentially this roster healthy for 2 years with Heedle, no less, but clearly wasted, stunted 2 years of Laf's development? If Laviolette had this team in 2021, I truly believe we would have won a cup already. I think we would have had a shot, a chance.
I don't know if we would have won. Here's what's tough with the Lafreniere part of this question. Okay. And this, there's no definitive way to answer it. So you can say I'm right. You can say I'm wrong. Just know that neither one of us is 100% right or wrong. Does this Lafreniere breakout happen if Gallant doesn't put him in the doghouse? I'm not saying I wanted that. Okay. I want to make that clear. I think it's fucking stupid that how Gallant handled him and how resistant he was to simply playing him on the right. And it was clear that Lafreniere showed glimpses of fire under Gallant that signaled this type of breakout was possible. But we can't definitively say that Lafreniere would 100% break out in this fashion if he didn't overcome the adversity that was Gerard Gallant. I don't fucking know. That's essentially where I am. You don't put a player through this thinking, oh, this will pay off in 2 years. That's stupid. But I also don't know if, like, does this Lafreniere season happen if a coach just coddled him immediately? Probably, but I don't know.
It probably does happen. I think, Greg, not to say, like, Glenn did listen to our podcast, and maybe you had a hand in saying, like, he should play the right way, and he was like, I'm never listening to Greg. So it was your fault.
I don't know if Gallant listened, but we know his wife did. And she's like, that mouthy fuck who always says something about baseball thinks you're an idiot. And Gallant, definitely a petty enough bitch, like Jay Bird, that he would do something in spite of me.
That's so funny.
See?
I wonder if I know who Jay Bird is, actually, now that I think. I just thought about it. I got a text a couple of weeks ago from someone we talked to who's been a longtime supporter.
Uh-oh.
Because am I arguing with Greg? And I was like, are you on the Patreon? And he was like, yes. And I was like, well, then you're arguing with Greg. I'm gonna text
could
him.
It could be.
That's so funny.
I was like, hey man, are you Jaybird? I gotta tell you, if you're texting him, he's got some nauseating opinions of his own. You should probably think twice about exchanging pleasantries with him.
I think it's someone we really like.
Jay Bird is someone we really like?
Yeah, I know. I'm not going to out him right now. I'm just going to double check.
Oh, well, you're telling me the second we stop recording.
Yeah, I will. I'm texting you right now.
Hey, man. I'm curious. Are you Jay Bird?
Okay, I am texting. I just texted him. He's like one of our original supporters. We've done a BSB like personal show with him. Whole thing. He was awesome.
It's not Bob.
No. I'll talk about it later. It's so funny.
Okay.
Oh God. All right. Final question. This is from my MK Nick. I don't want to dox him, even though I did. Could there be a worse start to a baseball season for Greg than the Yankees sweeping the Astros? And again, I don't think you care about the Yankees.
I don't. I enjoyed those Yankee games. So like, yep. I people too. Thinking I like, oh, ideas. Greg's going to be miserable. The Yankees are good. I don't give a shit. No Met fan should. I should be how all Met fans view the Yankees. Some Yankee fans annoy the ever-loving piss out of me. Don't get me wrong. But my general opinion of the Yankees is not that of negativity. I don't hate them. If they win a World Series, as long as it's not against the Mets, it's like, cool, great. Whereas if the Braves or the Phillies win a World Series, I would kill someone.
Yep. I will say I don't like the Yankees either. Former Yankee fan here. And generally, I like when they're good because it's better for baseball. It just is.
If I have an alternative I could watch on cable that is not the New York Mets, and it's in my market, what, this is bad for me?
It's not bad.
I'd rather watch a good Yankee team than watch a bad Yankee team.
Yep. I'll finish the question from Mr. Koenig here. The Yankees sweeping four games in Astros four games for the Astros. And the Mets lost all three while feuding with a former Philly. Also, is the Soto trade the perfect example of trading a mystery box for a boat? It's trading a mystery box for a yacht. It's not a boat.
But the Yankees didn't even trade a mystery box. They just traded Michael King and Drew Thorpe.
I like both those players, but...
Yeah, you didn't trade anything. I hear what you're saying, but the Yankee fans now were like, I don't know, I wouldn't include Michael King in a Juan Soto trade. I think you're fucking nuts. Like, you should have included every player not named Aaron Judge in a Juan Soto trade, because he's the special. Like, he's that fucking good.
He's the guy. And you've already seen him be the guy four games through the season.
Yeah, he's the guy. Sign him immediately is what you should do. Allow Steve Cohen to have a fucking chance.
I do not. But I'm telling you as a neutral here in this race. You cannot allow him to get to free agency. If he does, Steve Cohen will give him a Brinks truck.
Well, yeah, and this is the other thing that I think is important for Yankee fans, especially the weirdos who for some reason hate the Mets. If you want the Mets to not sign Juan Soto, you need to be rooting for the Mets every fucking night. If the Mets have another bad year in which they finish under 500 and they don't make the playoffs, after an offseason in which Steve Cohen sat on his hands because his new baseball president told him we should probably sit in our hands and spend big next summer, you're in fucking trouble. Whereas if the Mets get unexpected performances from their young players this year, make the playoffs, have a little bit of a playoff run, the Mets could be convinced that maybe we just sign Pete and we don't go ham and also sign Soto. The Mets miss the playoffs this year, you're in fucking trouble. You should hope to God the Mets make the playoffs this year.
The Brinks truck is backing up for Juan Soto, and it's not going to be, there's only three teams I really could see pay him, and it's the Yankees, the Mets, and the Dodgers are out. So where else is he going?
Are the Dodgers out? They might fucking give him money in 2050. Defer it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Does he get, the real question, is he going to get more than Otani? Because I think yes.
You think he gets 750?
I think so. I think Otani got what he got because of his elbow and would have gotten more. But I think Soto, being younger than Otani at the time of free agency and being the best pure hitter baseball has seen in a millennia, I think he's going to get, and again, a potentially desperate, hungry Steve Cohen is involved in this transaction as well. I think he gets 8. I truly do.
You, final point on this, you're thinking of this as a pure baseball decision. Whereas I think Otani was a business decision as well.
And well, I think that's why Otani got as much as he got without an elbow.
I think Soto ends up around the 5 number. That's where I think he ends.
Hmm. I think that's $200 million too low.
I can't wait for this to play out. It's going to be a fun year. This was 40 minutes. So if you
want... this is the end of the pod.
Yeah, this is the end of the show. We already did.
This was fucking 40 minutes.
Jesus Christ.
That's a long one.
You can follow me on Twitter at O'Reilly. You can follow Greg at Blue Shirts Break. We'll be back Wednesday night versus the Pittsburgh Penguins. It's night. The Devils. Fun. Mm. So we'll do that then, and we'll see you guys then. Love you guys. Bye. Hey, it's the end of the show where I thank all our Zach Hyman's dads bought a team member levels. So let's just get right into it. Usually every single week I mispronounce everyone's name. We pick a name out of a hat, and they're a winner. We've been doing this for a couple weeks. I don't know what winning means. We're going to figure it out. I'm sure we have some time this summer to figure these things out. If someone wins 3 times, they get a prize. No idea what that means. Adam Cortulo, Adam Cohen, Adam Keach, Alex Flynn, Amber, Alex Gardner. Oh man, I'm off to a hot start, right guys? Alex Gardner, Amber Cohensberger, Andrew Ronner, Anthony Gray, Anthony Mikal, Anthony Monturo, Anthony Tenegretta, April Erickson, Ari Zanger, Bill Waters, Bill Weber, Ben Waters, Ben? Jesus, man, what is wrong with me? I'm going to keep reading. Ben Waters, Ben Weber, Bill Olson, Bill Ratzel, Bowen Greenleaf, Brendan Lackos, Brendan Magnum, Breck Ranger, Brian Doherty, Brian Doyle, Brian Gallagher, Brian Mallon, Brian Sotavia, Brian Farrell, CJ, Chris Finelli, Chris Haru, CJ Stellag, Connor Fudemis, Daniel Delaney, Daniel Dezen, David Narodin, David Siegel, Dennis Dice, Dr. Kruger, Dylan Bretschneider, Eric Stagg, Gabe Valley, Garrett Randis, give Gardner a cup, Graham Clinton, Greg Gretzky McFly, Harrison Hathco, Hill of Vanilla, Hip Hip 89, Ian Usher, I'm going to the next page, Jack Bagley, Jack Grogan, Jake Keith, James Masker, Jerry Ann Marquez, Jason Stumer, Joanna, John Hardesty, Johnny Shea, Johnny Thundercock, Jordan, Joseph Sirico, Josh Custom Bomb, Josh White, Christian Florida, Carl Schwein, Schwingen. Oh, God, Ryan. Lee Plummer, Leshick, Gronowski, Lou Giordano. Leshick, give me a call, buddy. Lou Giordano, Matthew Goodwin, Matthew Kind, Meatball the Cat, Michael Koenig, Mike Bucklaw, who is our winner this week. Congratulations to my dear friend Mike. It was a pleasure seeing him a couple weeks ago. Mike Mancuso, Mike Pasternak, Nate Hanafy, Neeks, Neil Grover, Ponsor Prez, Other Slash, Pascal Perrier, Paul J. Smith, Pavel Kojarev, okay, Phoenix Edition, PJ Sisparo, Randy Tester, Ryan Sieb, Ryan Watch Miracle, Swinegarth, The Drop, BK, Tommy Sinclair, Tommy Tadeshi, Tommy O'Neill, Tony Gregory, Tony from Manhattan, Vinny Bracco, Vinny Hay, Will Spector, and finally and not least, Winston, the Golden Retriever. Bark, 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 bark. Thanks for another week of this stupid show. Crazy times, everybody. I don't have like a take here. Stay sane, stay healthy, and let's all figure it out. So they always make us sweat, don't they? No matter what happens. We'll see you for BSBOT on Wednesday night. Love you guys. Bye.